Author, serial entrepreneur, and podcaster Tim Ferriss has been described by some as the new Oprah, if in fact Oprah were a 40-year-old white man living in Silicon Valley. His weekly Tim Ferriss podcast draws hundreds of thousands of listeners, mostly of the 18 to 35 male variety, but he has begun to speak with the same authority as Oprah or James Lipton or any of a number of great interviewers of the previous generation. Near the end of every podcast, he runs his guests through a series of rapid-fire questions, not unlike the great James Lipton in his actor's studio. One of which caught my attention the other week because it was particularly important to me. He asked his guest, if you could put a billboard anywhere in the world, where would it be and what would it say? Now, the answers to this have been as varied as the answerers. Some have talked about billboards in Times Square, others along isolated country roads. Some have put proverbs and maxims on there, others simply suggesting bucolic scenes. And so at that point in the interview, I always ask myself, what would I put on a billboard if I had one to put up? Well, I'll tell you, I know what I wouldn't put on there. I wouldn't put a picture of myself or my mom. For it wasn't too many years, and my mom's a beautiful woman, mind you, but it wasn't many years ago that she was running for political office in my hometown and purchased a billboard with her face 10 feet tall on it. As much as I have come over my life to love and trust that face, seeing it at that scale was a little off-putting. So what would you write on your billboard if you had the opportunity? On the one hand, it's a rather trivial question, but I believe in a certain respect that this is what is at stake in the portion of the book of Habakkuk that Peter read for us this morning. Certainly, it may not be fully descriptive of life today in the podcast era. But God's command to the prophet to write the vision, to write it on tablets as large as possible so that even one running past could read it, says to me, billboard. God has a desire for us to get the word out in just that sort of way. The vision given to the prophet Habakkuk was one of salvation in the midst of destruction. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen, is the lament of Habakkuk at the opening of his oracle. Habakkuk lives in a time in which he and his people feel particularly far from God. They make their prayers and supplications for things to get better and things, as it appears, only get worse. How long will we cry violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and trouble? Destruction and violence are ever before me, strife and contention. The wicked surround the righteous. One might imagine that our prophet is considering putting up a billboard. Life's rough and then you die. Our best days are behind us, it might say. But into that, God provides a different vision. Habakkuk musters his strength. He stands at his watchpost, remains faithful in looking for God's presence, and God provides him a vision. Write the vision, he says. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. It seems to tarry, but wait for it. It will surely come. Look at the proud, and then consider the righteous, for the righteous live by their faith. So what would we write on our billboard? What is the collective vision that this congregation has been granted? What is it that we would wish to make plain so that even those driving by at 70 miles an hour might read it? Well, traditional church thought on the matter says that we might include the service times. We might, if we kind of keep faith with our southern brothers and sisters, also have a large image of the dean's head. Although I wouldn't think that would be any less creepy than my mom. We might have a portion of the Bible text, a mysterious quote from God. You've seen those billboards for sure, the all black with the white quote from God on them. But I want to offer something different this morning. This past week, Ed and the rest of your clergy and I were at our annual clergy conference, and in the midst of that, I got to sit for a while with Canon Stephanie Spellers, who is the presiding bishop's canon for evangelism and reconciliation. She is to the national church, not unlike what our own Genevieve Razim is to our cathedral. And she gave a presentation on the shape of the Jesus movement. This Jesus movement is what our presiding bishop uses as a shorthand to describe the core drive of the church that has its unique manifestation in our own Episcopal tradition, but is universal in its Christian appeal and its Christian call. And in the midst of that conversation, she redefines evangelism. She redefines evangelism. She twists what is probably a pretty old yarn for those of us who have been around the church, that we Episcopalians are not particularly given over to evangelism. We don't particularly like to share our faith with others. And I'm not sure she's absolutely correct, but it's a good yarn to twist. But she redefines evangelism not as the process of going out into the world and telling people what God has done for us. Because most of the time, people don't want to hear it. You've certainly been there. If your life is going bad and someone comes up and says, well, hold on in your suffering for just a second and let me tell you what's going good in my life. So it's not so much saying what God has done for us. It is neither, as evangelism has too often been, defining what's wrong in your life and reminding people that Jesus is the way. I see you're suffering. I see your life isn't going quite as well as you would like. I have the answer, you know. It never gets quite the hearing that we want. Now, she defines evangelism this way. She says, to be an evangelist or to do the work of evangelism is to listen for God's movement in our own lives and in the lives of others and then celebrate it. To go out into the world not as the one who has the sole view of God's work in the world because we've experienced it in our own lives, not to go out into the world as the great physician, the great diagnoser of ills and the prescriber of Jesus' medicine, but to go out into the world as the observer. As Habakkuk, the faithful watchman who stands upon his post and watches diligently for the presence of the Lord. The work of the evangelist in this day and age is to go out into our city streets and to begin to look around for God's presence already there, calling us out to see it. Even if it seems to tarry, even if it seems too subtle. To go out most powerfully, perhaps, and to see God's presence in the lives of other people. I've worked here at the cathedral for just over 2.5 years now, and in that amount of time, I have come to love and to see myself as a part of our ministry to the homeless. One can't help but see that, to drive down here 5 or 6 days a week, to walk back and forth across our street, to walk between here and Main Street, And I've seen the way that folks interact with the homeless. I've been a part of the way that folks interact with the homeless, and that is to say, usually not doing so. Hardly ever mistreating, usually just ignoring. But on rare occasion, I have been witness to the interaction between one of our homeless neighbors and one of our business neighbors that speaks to me of God's presence. And it's not always in the distributing of aid or the passing out of food or money. That just seems to be par for the course. But I have seen a business person stop and address a homeless person by name. And I have seen the homeless person respond by addressing the business person by name. These two people, as different as they may seem, have found a relationship in the midst of their difference. A relationship that I have heard can be life-giving even more so than a morsel of food or even a place to sleep. That's God in the midst of the lives of the other people. And Ken and Stephanie says that my role as the evangelist then there is perhaps not to go and break up their conversation, that would ruin it, but to find a way either in the life of the homeless person or the life of the business person or the life of the congregation that I serve to say, God is doing this thing out there. God is present in our city. And that's something we should celebrate. So what is our billboard on evangelism? What could we write in letters that could be read by those zipping past on a day-to-day basis? I think, friends, we've already found it. It has been the cathedral's motto of sorts for the last couple of years. God is in the midst of our city. Not only here at Christ Church Cathedral, where God is worshipped and adored and celebrated on a daily and weekly basis, but out there in the lives of the people, whether they know it or not. God is in the midst of our city. Write the vision. Amen.